So we continue with our 1 Samuel series. Okay, here we are looking at Samuel's beginnings. We had finished the first part several Sundays ago, which was basically an introduction and background. And after that, I remember mentioning to you that we are dividing 1 Samuel into four major parts. And we are in the first part, the forming of the prophetic office, as we study Samuel as a person. And we have further divided this first part into three parts. We are looking at the first part of this first major part of the outline, where we are studying the circumstances of his birth. And the study spans from the whole of chapter 1 to the first 10 verses of chapter 2. This is the way I see that I could divide this discussion. And then from here, we will be looking at the accounts of his boyhood, which I think I'll take only one Sunday. And then also probably one Sunday, God willing, the story of his calling. Okay, and from there, we will proceed to look at the failure of the priestly office. And we will be studying Eli quickly. Okay, and I foresee that baka mga isang Sunday din po yun. But then again, don't take my word. Okay, so we'll see how the Holy Spirit will move during these times. So what have we seen so far? We have been introduced to Hannah's family in verses 1 and 2. Please read your Bibles and quickly look at verses 1 and 2. And here, what had we learned regarding Hannah's family, that she was married to Elkanah, who was an Ephraimite by residence, but a Levite by lineage, no? And at the same time, we had seen that Elkanah had two wives. The first was Hannah, whom he loved, Hannah, who was really his first wife, and then, but who was barren, and because she was barren, he married Peninnah, who to bear him children. We looked at this issue of polygamy when we were in this section. And when we ended this section, I remember mentioning that, and I keep on pressing this upon you, please do remember that when we enter into the book of 1 Samuel, we are still in the period of the judges. This was a very dark period. And yet here, the reason for why we're spending some time, some extended time, in understanding the family of Hannah and the succeeding portions as well, is because, as I mentioned to you, this family served like a beacon of light, like a little lighthouse during this time of darkness. And that's why all throughout chapter 1, you will see this. You will see little details which sometimes we might miss. Details that tell us of Elkanah's, the Psalm will give us a picture of Elkanah's being a godly man, Hannah being a godly woman, faithful to the Lord, every year going up to worship and to offer sacrifices in the tabernacle at Shiloh. Here you will see details of there being a people of piety, even in the midst of this very dark period when most of Israel had been unfaithful to God. I don't want us to miss that. They were this light during this dark, dark period. And as I was reviewing this last night, this summary, and I was just reminded as I was reviewing that I believe this is God's call for us. To continue to be beacons of light during this very, very dark period. Alam niyo mga kapatid, grabe po ang situation po sa mundo ngayon. And the COVID crisis only served to bring this out. It only served to bring this out. In America today, recently there was a church that whose several members were arrested. They were gathering for worship outside, and yet they were arrested for using hymn books. Can you imagine this? So, talaga nagkakaroon na po ng persecution. And this was not in California, this was in Idaho. And so as I briefly read that news, sabi ko nga, Lord, ano ba nangyayari? What's happening? Mukha talagang pabalik na kayo. The abortion agenda, the LGBT agenda, and all of these other very liberal agenda are being pushed harder and harder. And now they are encroaching into the freedom of worship, particularly targeting now Christianity. And here in our nation, bagaman wala pa ho tayo doon, and that's why I'd like to encourage you, samantalahin po natin the religious freedom that we have here. We must thank God for that every day, and we must take advantage of every opportunity that God still affords us to be able to study the Word, to preach the Word freely, to hear the Word freely, to be able to freely share the gospel, because it will not remain this way always. I'd like to share with you that in one of my regular devotional readings now is in the book of Daniel. I just finished the book of Daniel. And as you read from chapter 9 all the way to the end of Daniel in chapter 12, one thing that you will see, brethren, is that as Daniel was prophesying things that would be happening in the latter days, these were days, this was a period far beyond the time of Daniel, you could only see one thing, that things would be going from bad to worse. From bad to worse. Before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in His second coming. Even before His coming for the church in what we believe is the rapture. It will go from bad to worse. And that's why the call for each one of us to remain faithful so that we would remain as beacons of light in this time of darkness is ever louder, is growing ever louder every day. Are you a beacon of light wherever it is God has placed you? Even at home. Or for those of you who are able to go to work, even among your unbelieving friends or unbelieving family members, do you seek to be a light? Even if all of you in your families are already believers, it is not necessarily true that everyone is walking the same faithful path just because all of you are believers in your home. And so you, if this is ministering to you right now, and I pray that it is, you must desire to be a beacon of light, even within a Christian home. And then from there, we began to be acquainted with Hannah's affliction in verses 3 to 8. Quickly read through verses 3 to 8. And what was that affliction? More than her being barren, which during that time, as you very well know, was considered as a curse by many, the other wife of Elkanah, Peninnah, made her life even more miserable by provoking her. And apparently this happened for several years to the point that Hannah was brought to desperation. And this is where we are right now, where we have now come to see Hannah's solution in verses 9 to 11. So the solution has two parts. The solution has two parts. So please read first with me verses 9 to 18. I'm sorry. Kailangan maayos po yan. 9 to 18. The first part was Hannah's prayer. So please read with me now verses 9 to 11. Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. So again, here, brethren, you will see a glimpse, you will catch a glimpse again of the piety, of the godliness of this woman, Hannah, where after a fellowship meal, she goes back to the temple of the Lord and there begins to pray again. We had seen that Eli saw this, he witnessed this, and later on he makes a comment. And here in verses 10 to 11, we see Hannah's solution to her affliction. And what was her solution to her affliction? Her praying to God and her prayer to God. That is what I see here. Her praying to God and her prayer to God. We had seen that Hannah's name means grace. And at this point, she needed God's grace to handle her burdens. And that's why verse 10 tells us she greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord, and wept bitterly. So she was driven to God in prayer. And I remember making this comment, and I would like to repeat that comment. It is not so much Hannah turning to God as much as God using her profound disappointment and sorrow to drive him to him in desperate prayer. Ginamit ng Panginoon etong kanyang affliction to drive her to him in desperate prayer. Brothers and sisters, our Father will not hesitate to use whatever means to drive us to him in desperate dependence on him. I remember making that statement rather emphatically. Our Heavenly Father will not hesitate to use whatever means to drive his beloved children to him in desperate dependence on him. Pag nakita po ng ating Diyos, ng ating Ama, na ikaw bilang kanyang anak ay nagpapabaya, when you as your children, and he sees you more depending now on maybe what you have in terms of possession, what you have in terms of wisdom or experience or whatever it is, relying on these things more than him, God can just suddenly pull the rug from under your feet to just drive you back in desperate dependence upon him. Let's not wait for that. Let's not wait for that, brethren, to happen. Towards the last three-fourths part of Pastor Ann's preaching earlier today, he was exhorting and he was throwing the challenge, asking us regarding our prayer lives. Because that is the first place. That is the first place where we would betray our laxity in our walk with God. Yung po unang hahanapin, dun po unang makikita sa lugar na yon. Kumusta po yung ating prayer life? How is our devotional life? Our time of reading the Word of God, studying, meditating, our time of praying and communing with Him. How is it? How is it? Brethren, there are many today during this period of different levels of quarantine where we are tempted to become lax in our walk with God simply because we probably see each other only once a week. Kung magsasign up ka pa nga, yung iba, hindi pa nga po nagsasign up kahit na pwede naman. And that might even be an indication that we are becoming lax somewhere. Well, because God loves you and He's faithful to you, He will use whatever means, if you are His child, to drive you back in desperate dependence upon Him. But then we also, as we continued, saw not only her act of turning to God during her affliction, we also saw about what she prayed for. We also looked at this. We did not only see her turning to God in prayer, we also saw what she prayed for as evidence of her earnestness, of the earnestness of her desire for God to answer her prayer. Look at verse 11. There we saw that Hannah did not just pray for God to give her a child, but she prayed specifically for a son. And then she makes a vow. She makes a vow. And this was not a simple vow of dedication the way we many times pray for children to be dedicated here. This is a very, very serious vow. And the implication of this is that if God did answer her prayer, soon enough she would lose the very child, the very son for which she asked the Lord. Hindi po magtatagal po sa kanya. In fact, I remember mentioning the reason for the Lord closing her womb initially may have very well been for her to be driven to this point of making this very vow to dedicate her firstborn son to the Lord, whom later God would raise to be one of Israel's greatest prophets. Siguro kung hindi po siya naghintay, siguro kung hindi po naging masama sa kanya si Penina, she would not even think of making this profound vow to the Lord. But now to her, it didn't matter. Lord, even if I just had him for 2 or 3 years as a baby until he is weaned, that's okay with me. If after that I would not see him anymore or he would not be in my arms anymore because I want him to be dedicated to serve you, that's fine. As long as I know you have heard my prayer, as long as I know you had allowed me to provide a son to my husband, and as long as I know you are willing to use my son to serve you for the rest of his life, even if I had to hold him only briefly, it is fine with me. I would be happy. It was that serious. And that's why here also we see that she made basically what we called a Nazarite vow. And a razor shall never come on his head. And I had described that. This vow, brethren, that Hannah made indicates to us just how serious she was in wanting to have a son, even though it meant having him only for a brief time until she weaned him. And though we had discussed basically that this was not like bargaining with God, this was not. Going back to Hannah's prayer, although distressed and desperate as it might sound, it was not an impulsive prayer, and we will see this, an impulsive vow rather, and we will see this as we continue today. It was not like promising God something that she would later on not be able or not be willing to fulfill. Hindi ito yung minsan ginagawa po natin. Lord, kung ito, sasagutin mo lang. Bibigay ko sa ito. Ito, Lord, itatabi ko para sa ito. Ito. And then after, pag sinagot ng Panginoon, kakalimutan natin. No, this was not at all something like this. And as we had closed, we saw that this vow was going to be like an expression of gratitude, like an expression of devotion to God for answering her prayer, for giving her the joy and privilege of producing a son for her husband and a servant for the Lord. Please do understand that throughout this prayer, this was not a proud prayer where Hannah thought that she could give God back something that God needed. At least about three times, she mentions the word maidservant. If you'd hear the prayers of your maidservant, if you would grant this to your maidservant, she realized that there was nothing she could really give back to God as a form of payment. So that even her dedication of Samuel to God, even in this vow, was not really a payment. This was really a picture of gratitude. So that's where we ended the last time. And now we look at the second part of Hannah's solution. We saw her prayer. Now we will see her comfort. I had prepared more than what we need for today, just in case we have enough time. But kung hindi po, then I will cut this up at a certain point. So please now read with me verses 12 to 18. Now it came about as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, "How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you." But Hannah replied, "No, my Lord. I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him." She said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Okay? So again, read with me verse 12 and the first part of verse 13. Now it came about as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. And so here, it so happened that as Hannah was praying her prayer in verse 11, apparently Eli was observing her. But what he observed was her soundless prayer. He could not hear anything from her. You see, often, brethren, prayers, especially in the temple, were accompanied by sacrifices. And that's why when prayers were accompanied by sacrifices, it became like an official act. And that in that official act, a priest would be paid a fee to offer the sacrifice for them. And as the priest did that, the priest would also pray loudly. Now, apparently Hannah did not have the means for such an official undertaking to call upon a priest to pray for her. And that's why she just prayed on her own. So basically here in verse 11, here we find Hannah praying in fervent but silent prayer. Okay, let me just make a quick comment here. Here in our church, we pray loudly and we pray silently. Sometimes when our burden is just so great, it helps to be able to pray loudly, at least loud enough, right? But some people are able to pray with great fervency and intensity even silently. Now that's fine. So hindi po natin dito pino problema, like in some churches that I know, that in some churches, on one hand, if you don't pray loudly, you don't understand intensified prayer. On the other hand, there are some churches where when you pray loudly, they frown at you because you're not supposed to pray loud. Okay, sa atin po, hindi po yun ang issue. And here, I think Hannah was a picture of this. The issue here was not so much in how she prayed, but the intensity in her heart for praying. And so look at verse 13 now. So Eli thought she was drunk. And then Eli said to her, "How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you." Now in Israel, brethren, usually praying in public was something that could be heard. That was more common, especially when you prayed in public. But since Hannah was praying silently, Eli rather quickly concluded that she was drunk. And so here he proceeds to rebuke her. Now I want you to put yourself for a while in Hannah's shoes. Eto ka na nga. Sobra ka ng burden. Sobra ka ng provoked. Wala ka ng pera to ask the priest to pray for you. So you go on your own. And so you're praying, crying out to God with all your heart, making such a life-changing vow. And then suddenly you hear the high priest, Eli was a high priest at this time, if you remember. suddenly accusing you of being drunk. Oy, lasenga! Aga-aga pa, dito ka pa magsasalita sa templo. Tama na yung pag-inom mo. So you can just imagine how that could have added to our aggravation. But then in verse 15, brethren, Hannah respectfully but firmly defends herself from Eli's accusation, explaining that she's not drunk, but is simply absorbed in her anguished prayer. In verse 15, Hannah replied, "No, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord." Before the Lord. Maybe just a quick observation here, brethren. Even in the humility of her heart, when she was accused of wrongdoing, Hannah did not choose to shut up. She respectfully, but firmly answered. When you are in the right, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to show those who may misunderstand you that you are in the right. Especially people in authority. Hindi problema kung ang kausap ko po dito, mga Amerikano, mga ibang banyaga, pero mga Pilipino po tayo. Minsan, and I've seen that happen so many times in the church. Sometimes one of our elders or pastors, sometimes ako, would talk to you about something, call your attention about something, and maybe because we may have misinterpreted you, and what do you do? Sometimes some people just keep quiet. Instead of trying to explain yourself and opening our eyes so that we might see where we are wrong, sometimes we just keep quiet. Ito ang problema. Hindi bale sana kung tatahimik lang. Problema, pag tahimik, biglang magkikimkim. Magkikimkim ng sama ng loob. Inakusahan ako, sinabihan ako ng ganito. And I've counseled people who've come to me saying that. And I would just simply ask, okay, so when that person said this to you, what did you say? Wala lang, tumahimik na lang ako. Why? Eh kasi pastor siya, kasi elder siya. So what? So what? Our pastors, our elders do not see everything. And there are certain things that you will help us see if only you would be willing to speak up. And here, Hannah was firm, but she was respectful. She was respectful. Look at what she said here, "No, my Lord." She did not say, "No, I am a woman of present spirit." There was still some respect. But here in verse 16, brethren, it seems that she is subtly rebuking Eli. Read verse 16 with me. "Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation." Now, why do I believe that she was speaking here with a subtle rebuke for the high priest Eli? Simply because of this, she does not begin her statement, this next statement, with the word "please." She does not. It almost sounds like verse 16 is like a command. And actually, I believe it is. "Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman." Now, I'm not making a big issue out of a small thing here with the word "please," brethren. Because I looked up the concordance just in the Old Testament of how many times the word "please" appears. And I was astounded by the number of verses where this word "please" appears. And I just listed a few. These are not all the verses in Genesis or in Exodus or in Numbers where you will find the word "please." These are just examples. And each and every time you hear someone and read someone using the word "please," there was an effort to show respect, and humility. But here, although Hannah was firm and still respectful, here she was more firm. It was really a rebuke to Eli. At the same time, brethren, Hannah uses words like, "Worthless woman, do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman." Those words, "worthless woman," is literally in the Hebrew, a daughter of Belial. It was one of the false gods. By the way, that word "worthless" was later on used on the sons of Eli. When we get there, you'll see that. Belial. And so here you would actually sense that Hannah was hurt, if not altogether offended. And so here she, I believe, rebukes Eli, still respectfully, but I think the rebuke is clear. And this is important. For me, this is important, brethren. Again, in keeping with understanding the context of the situation where this is all happening, this was a dark time. This was a dark time in the history of Israel. There was disunity in Israel. The people of Israel were in the time of the judges, were fluctuating between faithfulness to God and rebellion. So that even the religious leaders, the priests, were guilty of many sins. In truth, brethren, Eli's mistaken assessment, Eli's rash conclusion, I believe, gives us an important signal regarding the spiritual condition of both Eli and the priesthood under him. So again, here we see the contrast. We see the contrast between the dark period and the piety of Hannah. And in this case, the contrast becomes more specific, represented here by Eli. It seems to suggest, ito pong maling assessment, ito pong rash conclusion. Now, that's not wrong spelling. It's not rush. Pag sinabing rush, madali. Pag sinabing rash, it is careless. It was not thoughtful. It was impulsive. And I purposely use that word, rash conclusion. It seems to suggest that at this point, Eli, who was a high priest, was unfamiliar with fervency in prayer. It seemed that at this point, even the high priest was not familiar with fervency in prayer. And at the same time, it signals to us that apparently, as high priest, he lacked discernment. Napakabilis po niya maghusga. And brethren, this will become more apparent later on when we see his failure and inability to deal with his sons. Sa totoo lang. At the same time, brethren, the picture of Eli, who again was high priest at this time, I also believe was a commentary on the spiritual condition of Israel in general. That's why this is not a small detail, brethren. I believe whoever wrote 1 Samuel was continuously bringing out these contrasts, because through Hannah, God was about to do something major in Israel, to turn around the situation of darkness in Israel, paving the way not only for Samuel, but paving the way for the establishment of kings to the establishment of David himself, through whose line would come the Messiah. So hindi po maliit na detalye po ito. Again, here we see this contrast. And I was reminded of Hosea 4:9, where you will see that phrase, like people, like priest. Like people, like priest. Like priest, like people. Huwag po sana mangyari po sa atin dito yan, sa church po natin. Amen? May we find all of us who are your pastors and leaders continually faithful to the Lord and fervent in our devotion to Him. May we find each and every one of our members and faithful attendees also in the same condition of faithfulness and devotion. But here you will see, brethren, that this was the dark situation they were in, and God was really preparing both us, the readers, and Israel for a very major, bright moment that was about to come. So here, I really believe in my heart, this was a rebuke. She could have continued to say, "No, my Lord, please, please do not consider your maidservant a worthless woman." No. She said, almost like a command, "Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman." I believe this was a rebuke. But, praise God, at least to Eli's credit, once he realizes his mistake, what does he do? In verse 17, he blesses her. "Then Eli answered and said, 'Go in peace.'" Notice, hindi niya sinabi, "Who are you to rebuke me?" No, he said, "Go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him." At least to his credit, he blesses her when he realizes his mistake. And apparently, brethren, when you look at verse 18, what Eli spoke seems to have had the force of an oracle of blessing. Why? Because high priest po ito. So when the high priest would pronounce a blessing, even as simple as this, to the regular Hebrew, this would sound like a blessing from God. And apparently this was the way Hannah took this, because you will see the change in both her mood and countenance. Okay, look at what, read verse 18 with me. She said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Now look at the immediate contrast to the earlier verses. Now, she was no longer sad. Now, she felt like eating again. Right? Apparently, she took these words from the high priest as a blessing from God. And as you continue to read the story, it really was a blessing of God that brought her comfort. She took it as from the Lord in spite of the imperfect condition of Eli, who was the vessel of God's blessing to her. She was not focused on Eli and said, "Hindi ko tatanggapin yung blessing na yan kasi labo mo eh." No. She took it in faith and it changed her. And as I was just meditating a bit on this, it just made me realize, as a way of simple reminder, that the people who lead us are imperfect people. They are people of weakness, just like you. They are people who need your prayers. They are people who need your encouragement. They are people who every now and then need your loving reminders or even loving rebukes. And as long as what we preach to you is the Word of God, regardless of how some of us sometimes may offend you, go beyond us. Go beyond the messenger. And take nonetheless the message of God. It has happened just too many times here in our church, mga kapatid, na hindi po ganyan na nangyari. Na minsan nafo-focus sa kahinaan ng preacher, ng pastor, ng elder, yung member. So much so that even though what that person is teaching or sharing is from the Word of God, ayaw mo na makinig. Ayaw mo na makinig. Anyway, I see that as a reminder. And really, this response of Hannah, I believe, is actually a response of faith. It was a response of faith where she seems to have resolved to leave her concern with God. Lord, if you've used this man to give me comfort in telling me that you will answer my prayer, then I trust you. I will wait. I will no longer continue in misery. I leave my concern with you. I will not ask you to prove yourself even more. Hannah contented herself with this one simple blessing. She did not say to the Lord, "Okay, Lord, that was nice, thank you. But if really you are going to do this, then as I go out, maybe send two more priests to pronounce a blessing to me, then I will believe." No, she did not do that. This was a response of faith. And here, brethren, I believe we see a simple antidote for discouragement. A simple antidote for discouragement. And what is that antidote? Ano po yung gamot na pong yun? Bring to God how you truly feel. What you're carrying in your heart. Lay bare your heart in prayer. And then leave your concerns with Him in full trust to do what He would will to do. I have carefully crafted this statement, brethren. Especially the last part. And leave your concerns with Him in full trust to do what He would will to do. Not to do what you want Him to do, but to do what He would will to do. And I believe that this is basically what Hannah did here. After that blessing, she was happy. She was no longer sad. She was not asking God, "Okay, Lord, thank you, but when?" No. She just entered into peace in her heart, apparently, and just waited. She left it now completely in trust in God. I believe that that's an antidote to discouragement. Amen? Ano yung dala-dala mo, kapatid? Lay it bare before God. With all your heart, but in full trust. And then leave that concern at His feet. And then continue on with your life. Even as you wait for God to answer in the way that He chooses, in the time that He chooses. Even more. Because God cares for that concern more than you probably do. And He knows exactly what to do. Amen? Why? Because He's sovereign. He knows about that concern because it is a concern that He had allowed in your life for some higher purpose. Amen? Which brings us now to Samuel's birth. Samuel's birth. Let's read verses 19 to 20. Then they arose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So this was not a virgin birth. Okay, because he had relations with his wife. It came about in due time after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son and she named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Okay, so the next day, after having worshipped the Lord, Elkanah and Hannah returned again to their house in Ramah. Okay, again, we will see these little details that try to show us that this family is a beacon of light in this period of darkness, because they woke up early and they decided to still worship the Lord, one for the road, before they went back home to Ramah. Possibly a full day's journey. Maaba pong biyahe pong yon. And soon after, Hannah gets pregnant. And here, her pregnancy is purposely described by the author as the Lord remembered her. Now, this does not mean that the Lord sometimes forgets. No. This is just another way of saying that God had considered Hannah's prayer in his graciousness, answering her prayer. Again, these words, the Lord remembered her, is from the perspective of the human author. This is a comment from the author. The Lord remembered her. See, when you look throughout the Old Testament, each and every time God remembers in this way is a time of grace, indicates a time of graciousness from God, that the Lord remembers us. It's actually a humbling statement, really, because it seems to say that the God who is the creator of all things, who is in control of the whole universe and to the tiniest details, is able to remember me. You remember what David said in Psalm 8? What is man? What is man that you care for him? That you even remember man? And when did he say that? After he looked at the vastness of space, seeing all the stars and the heavenly bodies, he felt so insignificant that later on David says, oh, what is man that you care for him? I believe it is the same spirit behind these words. The Lord remembered. When God answers your prayers, he has remembered you. He has considered you. And that's why, brethren, each and every time God answers a prayer, it should humble us before him. Because he has remembered. In fact, as believers, each time we pray, it should humble us. Because we have access to the God of the universe who we know will nevertheless listen to us. Not because of us, but because of the blood of Christ. That's why the writer of Hebrews tells us, come with confidence into his presence in time of need. And it's so unfortunate that many Christians look at that passage and apply it wrongly, applying boldness in coming to God wrongly, boldness enough to demand and to command from God what they want. When in truth, Hebrews 4:16 should humble you when you begin to realize, wow, I can come into the presence of this great and powerful being, the creator of all things, in my time of need. And he will remember, he will consider me. Wow, it should cause us to humble ourselves even more. That is what prayer must do. And that's why the more we pray, the more humble we should grow. And if you sense that you're growing in pride, let me just challenge you, beloved. How is your prayer life? How is your prayer life? Baka doon ka nagpapabaya, kaya nga umiira lalo yung pride mo. But the moment you begin to pray rightly, even the act of praying and coming to God would and should humble you. So once more here, brethren, we glimpse the sovereignty of God, who first had closed her womb. God now is the one who opens that womb. Amen? Earlier, we saw that phrase, had closed her womb. The Lord had closed her womb. And now, in His sovereignty, He opens that womb. Brethren, only God can outdo what He Himself had done. Amen? So wonderful to be worshiping and to know personally the God that you and I worship today, the great God Jehovah, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because in His sovereignty, what He allows in our lives, what He ordains in our lives, He can reverse. He alone can. The moment His purposes for us are accomplished. And this, again, screams at our ears of the importance of coming to God in prayer with our concerns. Lord, because You're sovereign and for some reason You had brought this in my life, then only You, Lord, can turn this around. So I look to You, Lord. I look to You. I will trust You. You are in full control. You are absolutely sovereign over all the details. From my perspective, mo ang tao ang sanhi, but Lord, ultimately it is You. And so you and You alone can turn this around. Now read verse 20. I'm about to close here. It came about in due time after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son and she named him Samuel. The next phrases or the next words tell us why, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Finally, God answers her specific prayer specifically. Amen? God answers her specific prayer specifically. Praise God. And in the usual Hebrew tradition, she names her son, and I want you to get this, she names her son with a name that would serve as a testimony both to her son later on and to others about what God did. She names him Samuel. She names him Samuel. I remember when we were praying to have a fourth child. Chrissy was already there. Migs and Chrissy were less than 2 years apart. And so my wife, Mavi, said, well, one more. And at that point, I said, hindi na, okay na tayo. Kasi parehong maliit at parehong cute pa noon. Okay. Si Migs at si Chris. And parang I was already happy about that. But then she wanted one more. And said, yeah, okay. But then I remembered my desire, my prayer. Lord, that was my dream in college. I want to have a family, two boys, two girls. And we already had two boys. I had only one girl. And so he said, okay, let's try. But you know what? It took 7 years before Corinne came. But then when we became serious about wanting another child, this time a daughter, I remember in one of my prayers, and I still remember very clearly where I was. I was in La Union. I was in this dingy resort in La Union doing my personal retreat. And I was just saying to myself as I was praying to God, Lord, I want to have a nice name for her. That would be a testimony. And so the name Gabrielle. So Corinne's name was really Corina Gabrielle. Okay, I said that's nice because the word Gabriel means gift of God. If God, just in case, decides to give us a son, he could have been Gabriel. But kung magiging babae, Gabriel, gift of God. And when we finally found out in the ultrasound that it turned out to be a she, God answered my desire, 2 boys, 2 girls. Both boys born in May, both girls born in Feb. That's not family planning, that's God's planning. Amen? And that's how I saw it. Anyway, just a little story there. We are not used to doing that, right? Sometimes we find names that we just think are cool. Di ba? Ano kaya yung papangalan ko sa anak ko? Gusto ko maganda. Ano? Travis. Travis Bulaong. Okay, so why? Because you just like the name Travis. Okay, or whatever. Diba? Wala naman sa pamilya mong Travis ang pangalan. But in the usual Hebrew tradition, parents would find names that would be a testimony regarding that child. But let me just say this. So she names him Samuel. This is a little detail. Please hang on here a bit with me. Technically, that name Samuel in the Hebrew, Shemuel, literally means his name is God. His name is El. El is God. Yan po ang Shemuel. But Hannah may have understood that name to mean asked of God. Kaya nga sabi niya, because I have asked him of God. Mukhang ganun po ang pag-unawa ni Hannah doon sa pangalang Shemuel, because Shemuel sounded so much like Samoa-il. Of course, when you pronounce that, it's faster, Samoel, in the Hebrew, which means heard of God. Iba po ang Shemuel sa Samoa-il. But in pronunciation, they sound very much the same. In grammar, this is called an assonance. And so, it's very interesting. The word asked in the Hebrew is shal. Sha'al or shal. She asked for a son, and God heard. Sama, her. And so later on, Samuel then, the name Samuel would be associated with the meaning heard of God. Because as she said, she had asked the Lord for him. Kaya po, bagaman, technically and literally, it means his name is El, his name is God. Later on, the name Samuel came to mean asked of God. Kaya napakaganda po ng pangalang Samuel. Di ba? Now, here we see, brethren, that indeed, as we will begin to see in the coming Sundays, what an answer to prayer Samuel was. Not just to his mother, but also to the nation of Israel. And that is what we will begin to be seeing in the coming weeks and months. Brethren, never underestimate the power of prayer. It seems that this is something that the Lord wanted us to hear today, right? You heard something of this in the earlier service today. And this is not a profound, mind-boggling sentence. Oh, wow. New revelation. No. But this is such an important reminder. Never underestimate the power of prayer. And as you've heard me say 2,300,000 times in the past or something like that, prayer must never be the last resort, but the first recourse. Prayer must never be the last resort, but the first recourse. And that is why, brethren, no wonder Samuel was a great man of prayer, as we will see sometime later in this series. No wonder he was a great man of prayer, because look at the mom that God gave him. Mothers, fathers, what legacy are you leaving your children? Do they know you? Do they see you as a man or woman, as a father or mother of prayer? There's just so many testimonies of great heroes in the Christian church who many times would point to their fathers or to their mothers and their godliness and their piety and their devotion to God, and how just the testimony of every day, every so often, seeing their fathers on their knees pleading with God in their prayer closets, or hearing their mothers pray with tears and fervency for them, just remembering that picture in their minds, how that had changed the course of their lives. What legacy are you leaving to your children, father, mother? Amen? Now, you might not be a father or mother yet, but if you're a brother or a sister, especially if you're an ate or a kuya, what legacy of testimony are you showing to your adings? Ano nakikita nila? Ano nakikita nila? Amen? And so Samuel was finally born. God answers the prayer. And really, what an answer to prayer Samuel was, not just to his mother, but as we will later on see, to the nation of Israel. Iba pag ang Diyos talagang sumagot. Amen? Next Sunday, we will look at Samuel's dedication. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, so much for your word today. Lord, I pray that what you wanted to bring to the hearts and minds of your children, Lord God, you had done so in spite of your servant, Lord God. And I trust that you had spoken to them through your Holy Spirit using your word. And I pray that this word would change them, as you use this word to also continually change me. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we give of our tithes and offering, help us to give always with cheerful hearts. Hearts that overflow with love for you and love for this church, the church that you had given to us. And may we stand in faith in spite of all the many pressing needs that we have in our lives. Help us to give also in faith, remembering, Lord God, that we could never outgive you. Remembering, Lord, that you are our great provider anyway. So do guide us, Lord, in all our giving. Do guide us. Help us to be faithful in this, Lord God, for your pleasure and glory. And as we go from this place, Lord God, I pray your blessing to be upon each one who had come. Please continue to surround them even, Lord, as the COVID cases here in Baguio, Lord God, are still rising, Lord God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, protect your children. And remind them also to be extra careful as well. Maraming salamat, Panginoon. Your blessing rest upon each one who had joined the service, whether here or in the live stream. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.